Good to see you here at Grace Point Church. Looking forward to worship, fellowship, music, and a message we pray that God will bless. I always trust Him to do that. In Psalm 46, the first few verses, it talks about a catastrophic occurrence. The psalm writer is standing on terra firma, and out of nowhere, an earthquake happens, and literally the earth splits between him. But being a good Hebrew, he ran to the hills. But when he got there, all the trees were toppling over, and he couldn't stay there, and he only had one other place he could go. That was down to the Mediterranean Sea. But when he got there, the waters were rising. They were rough. They were flowing with all those trees that fell down from the mountains. And he had nowhere else to go. Has life ever seemed that way for you? So in the next 9 verses, the psalm writer is talking. But then in verse 10, God speaks. And in the midst of that catastrophic event, God says, "Be still and know that I am God." I want us to be still in our hearts, our minds. I want us to realize that God is God. Would you pray with me, please? God, we want to acknowledge right now, whether things are going wonderfully in our life or whether we're going through some very difficult times, we acknowledge now that you, God, you are God. We're not God, you are. And thank you, God, that you speak those same 2 words to us. Be still. And so, God, for the next hour or so, we're going to be still. We're going to laugh. We're going to experience joy. We're going to sing from our hearts. We're going to learn things. And all through it, Lord, we want to be still. And recognize again that you are God. Amen. At 7 p.m. on October 20th, 1968, a few thousand spectators remained in the Mexico City Olympic Stadium. It was almost dark, and the last marathon runners were crossing the finish line. And suddenly, all the spectators there heard this wail of sirens on police cars. And then the lone runner, wearing the colors of Tanzania, staggered into the stadium. His name? John Stephen Akwari. He was the last contestant to finish the 26-mile race. During the race, he took a very hard fall. He injured his leg, dislocating his knee, and he was bleeding. His leg was crudely bandaged. He hobbled the final lap around the truck, and the spectators arose in applause like he was the winner. And after he crossed the finish line, someone asked him why he just didn't quit. And he replied simply, "My country did not send me 7,000 miles to start the race. They sent me 7,000 miles to finish it." Life is sometimes compared to a race. And as you know, in a race, there are a lot of people who start, but some of them never finish. Today, I want to share a message with you entitled, Finishing What You Started. If you have your outlines, take them out. You can follow along. You can fill in the blanks. Finishing what you started. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 11, finish what you began to do, then your willingness will be matched by what you accomplish. I want you to underline or circle the word finish. Finish what you began to do. It's a whole lot easier, folks, to start something than to finish it. Would you agree with that? We probably have all started something. We probably have projects right now that we've started that aren't finished. It's easy to sign up for stuff, but it's difficult to follow through. Desire is one thing, but accomplishing and finishing is another. Look at this verse in John 17, 4. In this verse, Jesus is talking to his heavenly Father, and Jesus said to God, I have brought you glory on earth. How? By completing the work that you gave me to do. Underline or circle the word completed. In John 19, 30, Jesus said, it is finished. Underline and circle, finished. And then Paul said this in Acts chapter 20, verse 24. He said, I only want to complete my mission and finish the work that the Lord Jesus gave me to do. I want you to underline or circle, complete and finish. Paul said, the only thing I want to do is to complete my mission. I just want to finish the work that Jesus gave me to do. And then later in 2 Timothy, literally some of the last words that Paul penned before he died. Here's what he wrote in 2 Timothy 4:7. Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I have what? Finished the race. Have you already circled it or underlined it? Good, good. I want us to be able to say that as believers. I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I want us to say that as a church. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. A good example in the Bible about things left unfinished is in the book of Nehemiah. Back in the Old Testament, Nehemiah was commissioned by a king to build a wall around Jerusalem. So Nehemiah took a dispirited, discouraged group of people who had been under slavery for many years, and he led that group to begin to build the wall around Jerusalem. Halfway through the project, though, the workers got discouraged. They lost heart and they wanted to give up. They wanted to quit. It's interesting, usually around the halfway point, we're ready to say, nope, thrown in the towel, not going to finish, going to give up. So I want you to follow along as I read some verses here we're going to look at in Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. I'm sorry, 6 through 11. We're going to look at this half-finished wall. In verse 6, it says, so we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height. It reached half of its height. For the people worked with all their heart. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, and the Ammonites, and the people of Ashdod heard that the repairs to Jerusalem walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were angry. They didn't want the Jews, the Hebrews, to finish this wall. They were the enemy. So in verse 8, they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, the strength of the laborers is giving out, and there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. Also, our enemy said, before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them and will kill them and put an end to their work. So out of this scripture, I want us to look at two things today. Why we sometimes fail to finish when we start, and what we can do to make sure we do finish what we start. So first, why we sometimes fail to finish. Number one, fatigue. Nehemiah verse 4, chapter 4, verse 10 says, they said, the strength of the laborers is giving out. In other words, the laborers, the workers, those who were building the wall, they literally were physically exhausted. They were tired, they were whipped, weary, and worn out. You ever get that way? Going through a project, maybe you get halfway, and for whatever reason or reasons, you all of a sudden you're just, I can't go on. Vince Lombardi said, fatigue makes cowards of us all. When we get tired, we just say, hey, you know what? I'm tired, so maybe I just won't finish this. I'm going to rest for a while. If I get back to it, fine. If not, that's fine too. I'm just tired and I can't finish it. When I was in seminary working on my doctoral degree, we had a seminar and we had to write chapter 2 of our dissertation. So because my name is Bennett with a B, guess who had to present theirs first? And it's interesting because everybody else in the class, some people had 4 extra days to finish this than I did. I'm in seminary class and I'm ticked. So I remember having to start my research, and this was the last year that this library still had a catalog, card catalog system. Oh my gosh, someone just shoot me. Gosh, it was ridiculous. I worked and I worked all day getting it ready, writing it, fixing it, editing it, coming around, and then, this is now a day and a half, I've had no sleep, literally no sleep. I finally get to a point where it's ready. All I have to do is now is take it to somebody where they were going to print copies for everybody in the seminar. And I got it and I brought it back to my room. And I thought, I'm just going to rest for a minute. And that minute turned into a long, hot minute. And I woke up. Do you ever wake up and just go, oh my gosh? That's how I felt. Coming into class. Class had started. It was about an hour in. And I'm never late. I walked in the class and they were all looking at me like, you just wasted an hour of our time. I said, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I was absolutely exhausted. And when you get like that, physically exhausted, mentally exhausted, spiritually exhausted, sometimes you just give up because you have no energy left. Why do we sometimes fail to finish? Because of fatigue. Secondly, we also sometimes fail to finish because of frustration. Nehemiah 4:10, and there is so much trash and rubble to be removed. Now, any building project has its own share of rubble and trash. It's just part of the process. These folks were building a wall around an entire city. I'm sure there were broken bricks everywhere, piling up, getting in the way. And they said, man, this is discouraging the people. They can't get around. Folks, when we get a lot of rubble in our lives, we begin to get frustrated. We tend to say, hey, if this is the source of my frustration, then I'm just going to quit. I'm just going to walk away. Ask yourself this question this morning. What's the rubble in your life right now? What's the trash in your life right now that's frustrating you? What's holding you back from finishing what God called you to start? What frustrates you? 3, why we sometimes fail to finish, fatigue, frustration, and 3, failure. Failure. sometimes prevents us from finishing. Nehemiah 4:10 again, same verse. We ourselves are unable to rebuild the wall. They were unable to finish as quickly as they had planned, and so they lost heart. Now, folks, listen. They failed to keep the timeline they had. You're going to fail in life. All of us fail. Nobody has an unbroken string of successes. Think about baseball. I love baseball. It's my favorite sport. In professional baseball, Major League Baseball, the best of the best of the best hit under 300. Which means for every 10 times they come to the plate to hit, they walk back 7 of those 10 times. But they don't get discouraged. They get right back up and try again. And they're paid millions of dollars to fail. I can fail. I can fail better than them. Folks, we all fail. The question about failing isn't, are we going to fail? It's, how are we going to handle failing? Some folks just like to give themselves a pity party and feel sorry for themselves. Other folks like to take their failures out to others by complaining about them. Other people like to make excuses for their failures. Well, it really wasn't my fault. And then some people just give up. Folks, the truth about failure is this: you're never a failure until you quit. Just because you tried and it didn't work this time doesn't mean you're a failure. You become a failure when you say, I'm quitting, I give up. And unless you get a word from God that says you need to stop this, then you shouldn't stop. You should continue on. Failure doesn't have to be fatal, folks. Not a bit. There are some things in life that aren't for everyone. In 1891, at a YMCA in Massachusetts, James Naismith created the game of basketball. The objective of the game was to throw a basketball into fruit baskets that were nailed around the rim of the inside of the gym. And eventually, Naismith, who literally invented basketball, became the men's coach of the University of Kansas. In the 9 years that he was coach, the inventor of basketball, his record was 55 wins and 60 losses. He is the only Kansas basketball coach to finish with a losing record. I think he failed. Isn't it ironic that the inventor of basketball failed at coaching? Here's the key, folks. Failure doesn't have to be fatal. He invented basketball. He just wasn't a good coach. He excelled in inventing the game. Failure does not have to be fatal. You fail at something, learn from it, get back up, get back in the game, go back to what you were doing or find something else to do. Don't let it get you down. There's another reason that we sometimes fail. That is fear. When the Jewish people began to build the wall around Jerusalem, they were encouraged. They were enthusiastic. Then the enemies of the Jews made threats to them. They said, hey, if you finish the wall, we will kill you. Now look at this verse, Nehemiah 4:11. Meanwhile, our enemies are planning to swoop down upon us and kill us, thus ending the work. Now, I doubt that you're ever going to be in a situation about what you're doing that somebody threatens you that if you do this, you're going to be killed. That just probably will never happen. But there are other fears that can keep you from finishing your work. Maybe the fear of success. Some people are doing well, and all of a sudden they start moving up the ladder, they're getting things done, and they're afraid to continue on and finish succeeding. They don't know what's on the other side. They don't know how to handle that success. People are afraid to fail. What if I do this and it doesn't work? What if it fails? Folks are going to humiliate me. These are some of the reasons why we fail to finish. Now, let's spend some time on the second part of the message. How to finish. How to finish what you start. How to finish what you start. First of all, stop making excuses. In Proverbs 22, verse 13, it says, the lazy person is full of excuses. Ben Franklin once said that people who are good at making excuses are rarely good at anything else. As a matter of fact, there are so many excuses out in our society today that someone compiled them. They literally wrote a book about people's excuses. I'm going to share just a few of these. These excuses that came from this book are actual excuses turned into insurance companies from people who had auto accidents. Here's their excuse. Coming home, I drove into the wrong house and collided with a tree I don't have. I had been driving my car for 40 years when I fell asleep at the wheel and had an accident. You're driving for 40 years straight, huh? The pedestrian had no idea which way to go, so I ran him over. The guy was all over the road. I had to swerve a number of times just to hit him. I was pulling over to the side of the road, glanced at my mother-in-law, and headed over the embankment. No, I had a great mother-in-law. She was wonderful. She was. Now, these are funny, right? They're real excuses. But some of our excuses that we give for not finishing what we start are just as lame as these. Stop making excuses. Take responsibility. Don't pass the buck to someone else. No excuses. Number two, you want to finish, no excuses, and you need to start immediately. You need to start immediately. Once you know you've detoured off doing what God has called you to do, then you need to start immediately getting back on track and finishing what God has called you to do. Don't wait to start on it next week, next month, next year. Start immediately. Some of you have gotten off track. I get off track sometimes. You need to get back on track, and you need to do it now. The longer you wait to get back on track, I guarantee you, you're not going to get back on track. Start immediately. Romans 12:8. If your gift is to encourage others, do it. If you have money, share it generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility. If you have a gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. What's Paul saying here? Paul's saying whatever you're going to do in life, get on with it. What are you waiting for? We don't have that many years down here. We really don't. Don't waste your time and your calling and your giftedness and what God is urging you to do. You need to do it. Don't sit back and wait. Don't keep saying one of these days. One of these days is none of these days. And when you say, I'm going to do it one day, you will never get to it. You need to say, I'm starting now. And I want to encourage you to do this. There's no need for you to keep sitting on the sidelines of life, especially when it comes to God's work. Whether that's God's work in your family, in your business, in your home, in your church. What are you waiting for? If you've been waiting to hear God speak to you about this, guess what? You just heard it. Time to get going. Number three, focus on the gain, not the pain. Folks, worthwhile things in life are rarely easy. When things get tough sometimes, you just have to look past the pain and look toward the gain. This is something Jesus did. Jesus was able to endure the cross and all the emotional and physical and spiritual pain that it cost him. He was able to endure the cross because of the joy set before him. He was able to look at the gain that was coming his way for the benefit of God's kingdom, for the benefit of people like you and me. He looked past the pain and to the gain. The problem is, we want the gain without the pain, right? That's what we want. I don't want to go into Gold's Gym and lift weights. I want to drive by Gold's Gym and feel like I just had a workout. There's got to be an app for that. We want the blessings of life without having to pay any of the cost. And folks, it doesn't work that way. It didn't work that way for Jesus. It doesn't work that way for us. Galatians 6:9, Paul said this: don't get tired of doing what is good. Don't get discouraged and give up, for you will reap a harvest of blessing at the appropriate time. Paul says, don't give up. Finish what you started. Don't get discouraged. Keep on going. Look past the pain to the gain. Why? Because he says here, there will be a day when you're going to reap a harvest of blessing. When you get to heaven one day, you will see all the rewards that God has for you for being faithful, for enduring, for continuing the work he's called you to do. And one day you're going to look back and say, it was worth it. Proverbs 24, verse 12. God is watching you, and he will know. He will reward each person for what he has done. Folks, to me, just the fact that Jesus can forgive my sins and give me eternal life and give me the Holy Spirit to guide me through my life, that is way more than I could have ever imagined. But when we get to heaven, the Bible says God's going to reward us. Are you kidding me? I get more? God will reward you, not for what you wanted to do or what you thought about doing or what you quit doing. God will reward you for what you have done, for what you have finished. So focus on the gain, not the pain. And number four, depend on God to help. Sometimes when you try to finish something, you need to depend on God to help you. Matter of fact, all the time, if you're going to finish, you need God's presence, God's strength. You can't do it all on your own. I know some of us out here right now are thinking, oh, I can take care of this, and I can do this, and I can handle this. Yeah, how's that working out for you when you get whipped and excited out of energy and all? You need God to be a part of this. Do you need God to be the leader of what you're going to do and give you the strength that you're going to need? 1 Peter 4:11, look at that verse. Do it with all the strength and energy that you have. Is that what it says? No, that's what we say sometimes. It says, do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then God will be given the glory. Folks, if God can take a dead person who's been dead for 3 days, if God can take that person and give him life and change his countenance, his appearance, if God can do that, I think he has enough strength to take care of you and me when we're trying to finish our race. Should have had an amen on that one. Just kidding. God says, I'll not only give you the desire to do it and to finish it, I'll give you the strength to do it as well. Emotional, spiritual, physical strength. that you need. Folks, are you going to be able to say what Jesus said when he said, "It is finished"? Are you going to be able to say what Paul said when Paul said, "I did it, I finished it, I completed my mission, I finished the work that God gave me to do"? Ask yourself this question: what do I need to finish? What do I need to complete? What do I need to pick back up? Something that I started and now God's saying, get back at it. I just laid it down and God's saying, pick it back up and get with it. What's in your life that you need to finish? What about Grace Point Church? Some of you who heard the message I preached last week have talked with me about it, and your words were encouraging as I shared some of the vision, dreams for Grace Point Church with you. And it was good. It was fun. It was exciting. But let's not live there. Let's not get lax. Let's not get comfortable enjoying church the way we are enjoying it now. I don't want to stop enjoying it, but we can't stop there. Borrowing the words from the Carpenters, a brother and sister duo from the 1970s. You remember them? One of their songs, "We've Only Just Begun." We are not finishing the race. We are starting the race. We are going on the race. And we've just begun as Grace Point Church. And we need to make sure we finish the work that God has called us to do. And that work, what I said last week, may include some transforming of our property, our church and fellowship hall buildings, upgrading them, doing some redesigning so we can make better use of our space. That's just the beginning. The most important thing we need to stay focused on as a church is bringing the unchurched to Jesus. If we upgrade everything on this property and we win awards because of how we look and how updated things are, and we never win a person to Christ, we've wasted our time. And we've wasted our money. That, my friends, is the priority. That is something God called us to do. That's the work we have to finish. I wonder sometimes, literally, how many cars pass this church building every day. I'd like to know how many pass by either direction, how many pass by in any given hour, how many pass by in any given day, how many pass by in a month. And without duplicating numbers, how many of those people that pass by here need Jesus? They're not saved. Or maybe they're saved, but they've gotten away from fellowship with God and fellowship with God's church. How many of those people? That's what it's all about. That's the work that God has called us to do. One of our responsibilities as pastors is to train all of you how to lead someone to Christ, how to encounter them, how to talk with them, how to share with them, so you can maybe even just get them in the church door so they have the opportunity to make a commitment to Jesus. Maybe they made the commitment out there somewhere, and they're just looking for a place to worship. We want to be ready to have those people come worship with us. Remember Grace Point, and remember well, we didn't come this far just to come this far. We need to finish the race. Snails move at the rate of 0.00036205 miles per hour. It would take a snail 4 months to travel 1 mile. I wonder how they ever made it into the ark. You know how the snail made it to the ark? He never gave up. He just kept on. Never quit. Didn't take those. He just pressed on. He kept moving forward. And he endured to the end. I'm not saying Grace Point is a snail. I'm saying that's a practice we need to do. One of my favorite verses regarding this type of message is found in Hebrews 12:1. I love it. It says, hey guys, start running and never quit. Maybe that applies to you in your life. Maybe God is saying, start running. Get up and start running again and never quit. I know he's saying that to our church. We have started running now. Let's never quit. Are you with me? All right, let's pray. God, we're grateful that when we get saved, you don't just dismiss us, you grow us, and then you call us to be a part of your work. Part of your work is what we do in everyday life, God. Whether we go to the office, we're working construction, we work from home, we take care of people, whatever our jobs are, that's part of the calling you've placed on our lives. You've also called us as your children to be the church. And you've called us as Grace Point Church to finish what you've started in us. God, whatever we need to do, whatever it takes, finish what you've called us to do. Give us your presence, your strength, your encouragement to continue on to reach people for Jesus until you call us home. And if we don't know exactly where we fit in the church yet, God, show us, grow us, bless us, but only God, so more people will come to know Jesus. You've spoken to us, God. May we respond accordingly. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, let's pray together. Have a great week. We'll see you back next time. Lord, thank you for this great group. Thank you for the excitement, the challenges also, to get in the race and run, to find our place, to serve you, and never quit, to finish the job. Lord, help us to go from this place with a smile on our face and to share with others the joy that you've given to us. People are hurting. They need to know that you are love and joy and peace. We pray for that. Lord, go with us now, and we pray it in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen.